Welcome to the Business and Life podcast with Matthew and Ben. Today's topic is a very famous entrepreneur.
Extremely
famous. I would probably say the world's most famous entrepreneur.
Yep.
And currently, at this point in time, the world's richest man. That is Elon Musk.
Is he? So, is he right now the richest guy?
Yeah. He is worth something like $200 billion.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, everyone thought Jeff Bezos was for a while, and Tesla's valuation has just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these business owners, their wealth comes from the shares in the companies, right?
Yeah.
So people always like, oh, this guy's worth $100 billion.
Yeah.
Well, he can't sign a check. He probably can't even sign a check for $10 billion. Maybe not even a billion. I mean, I don't know how much personal wealth. I mean, Elon Musk, he doesn't have... I mean, he sold all his properties, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he should have some liquidity. I mean, he's definitely not like a materialist, but he does have some liquidity, I would say. Like in the shares, right? Like the public shares, so...
Yeah, I mean, that is a liquidity. But he has to... I mean, recently, didn't he? He sold a big portion of his shares.
Yeah.
Because there was this... in my opinion, very idiotic idea put forward by the government in the United States, which was, we're going to tax billionaires based on the accumulative wealth they generate in their public shares. So if the shares that they own increase in value, they're taxed on that.
Yeah.
But it's quite idiotic because they don't have that money to pay for it. It's not like they have that income.
Yeah.
So it literally is just an increase in share price. How are they supposed to tax someone whose shares are increasing unless it's crazy? And anyway, people, this whole movement over in the US is very sort of far left movement where they hate billionaires and they don't think they're paying their fair share of tax. Well, Elon Musk sold, I think, $10 billion worth of Tesla shares and just filed the single largest tax return in US history for a person. It's like $4 billion in taxes,
and
which is absolutely insane.
And that's considered evil, right?
Yeah. I mean, what people should be saying is thank you.
Exactly.
You know, thank you for paying $4 billion in taxes where I can't do, like, these people themselves who are moaning about it, they're probably not paying taxes at all. They're probably living in their mum's basement, probably working part-time, don't pay taxes, or they're a student and they've never had a proper job in their lives, and they're like, yeah, we want to tax the billionaires, they're not paying their fair share. This guy's just gone off and paid $4 billion in taxes. Well, I'd like you to get even close to that any point in your life.
Yeah.
Really, really, really grinds my gears. But yeah.
Yeah.
So Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
You want to...
Yeah, so
when did you hear about him? When did you first hear about Elon Musk, and what was your opinion of him when you first heard of him?
That's a great question. I think I heard of him when he first kind of built PayPal. I think that's when I first started hearing of him. So a bit of background on this: my dad comes from like the space industry, so kind of, you know, if there's something big going on, we'll probably, you know, talk about it or discuss it at least at home. So I think we started talking about Elon Musk from like Twitter, PayPal, and so on. He was a bit of a character early on. That's where it's crazy how you can see how he wrote what he was going to do with Tesla and actually do it.
Yeah.
Like have you seen that paper where he writes like, this is how Tesla is going to like essentially evolve as a company. This is what we're going to start with. Oh, there's like an actual paper from like 10 years ago with him showing, we're going to start with high-end roadsters, like Tesla roadsters. We're going to use that cash generation to invest into our first, you know, I guess, more mainstream vehicle. I think which is called the Model, I'm not sure which one it is right now. But it's, do you know which one
Model
it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't follow the model that closely.
Yeah. And then he just... kind of projects himself in the future based on a paper that he wrote, and there we go, $200 billion net worth.
There you go, simple as that.
Who voice that?
What I admire about people like Elon Musk, and I think what really does make a successful entrepreneur, is he made so much money from PayPal, like tens of millions, and he could have retired and never needed to work again. He could put that in his in a pension. He could have just put it in an investment fund, made a cool 7% a year or more for eternity, and he would be wealthy and never need to work again. But he wasn't interested in that. He's always wanted to do big things, achieve more things. Yeah. And this is something we've talked about before. There's almost in the most successful entrepreneurs, there's always this thing inside them that is like, this is never enough. They always want to do better, build bigger, grow more wealth. They're always progressing, always want to try and get further ahead. And Elon Musk is that person. I think because of that, he is where he is. And
to be honest, Ben, what will you do with like 20 million, like 20, 30 million? What will you do with that?
What would I do personally with 20 million? I mean, it's a good question. I'd buy probably a nice house. And then, I mean, what would I do with it? Probably go out and do what Elon Musk's done, start another business.
Yep.
Invest in businesses. And like you say, I mean, what actual use is having that kind of money?
Yep.
If you're not going to improve the economy and try and improve the world through investing in maybe startup businesses or starting your own business. So, I mean, I would do the same thing, definitely. But I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs that, given the chance to sell out their business and make 10 million, 20 million, they would then say, that's great, I don't need to work again. They would go off and live in the Bahamas for the rest of their life. They wouldn't be bothered about starting a new venture. And I think that's what everyone admires so much about Elon Musk, is that he always has another thing he wants to start, another vision. And I think it's crazy to me, because when it's like when you're a kid, you have all these ideas like, oh yeah, I want to fly, I want a flying car. Oh, I'd love to go to the moon. I'd love to go to Mars. I'd love to have underground tunnels in cities.
Yeah,
I'd love to be able to control things with my mind. And so, like, these are all almost like fantasy when you're a kid. And Elon Musk is having these fantasies at the age of like whatever he is, 40, 50.
Yeah,
and he's bringing them to life. Like, he's actually just finding ways to bring his real life children's fantasies to life.
Exactly.
I watched a podcast recently focusing on, they were talking to, I think it may have been the chief technology officer of Tesla.
Okay.
And one of the things he said, which just always stuck with me, was every decision that Elon Musk makes, every decision he makes around every business, is centered around the one idea of, does this help us put a civilization on Mars?
I saw that as well.
That's crazy to me. Like, his own, like, his sole focus is to get a civilization onto Mars. Like, everything he's doing, I don't know how Tesla relates to it, but he is so focused on just getting people to Mars. That's just his like number one focus.
Why do you think that is? I mean, he's talking about, you know, like, human species. We've only been here for, say, you know, a couple of thousand years. We need to evolve. We need to be in, like, a multi-planetary species, because something could happen to Earth, so we need to have, like, a plan B. And obviously, he's, like, a big visionary, right? Like, you can see how he's, like, trying to change, you know, CO2 emissions through, like, electric cars. He's trying to understand where we're going to be, I guess, decision making wise through Neuralink, making tunnels on the fucking like Earth. It's just crazy, right? How you know, like, why do you think he's trying to get us to Mars? Like, what's important about that?
So I think what he thinks is important is, space is to a lot of people almost like a purpose, like a way of seeing and a way of living for a purpose.
Mm.
It's like they want to go into space because they see that as the next human advancement. And if you're not advancing as humanity, then I think that makes people sad. And I think space is hope for a lot of people. Yeah. Progressing the human species into a multiplanetary species is just hope for a lot of people. That's what I think he gets from it.
Yeah.
And he said, I think, well, I watched an interview 5 years ago with him, and he said that by 2030, we could see people on Mars. I don't know how realistic that is. It possibly may be quite realistic, given what he's accomplished in five years.
Yeah.
But it's certain that if you want one guy, and if you want to achieve this, the one guy who's going to get it done is Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I think you can say, as a business person, as an entrepreneur, if you came up with an idea, and you were like, who do you want to take your idea and build the business for? You would say, Elon Musk, like, without a question. Like, what? I trust him more than any other business person to bring an idea to life, especially if it's a wacky idea.
Well, I think Elon Musk is probably one of the most complete business people we've ever witnessed in life, like literally in our entire lifetimes. Think, like, who is more complete than Elon Musk? Like, I've seen him talk about, like, EBITDA. I've seen him, like, talk about finance. I've seen him talk about, like, engineering, like, very complex engineering matters.
Chemistry. He talks about tech, chemistry.
He's, like, a sales guy as well. Like, he sells very well. In fact, for the audience, Tesla hasn't spent a cent on marketing yet, apparently. And they've obviously sold because the product is so good, right?
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just crazy, isn't it?
His knowledge of so many different areas, it's just so admirable, because entrepreneurs
coding as well.
I mean, they typically, I guess, entrepreneurs have one specific field or a couple of specific fields.
Yeah.
If they're building a medical device business, they may have very specific knowledge of the medical devices industry and the science around it. But if you started talking to them about the finance side of things, how to market the product, how to the in-depths of other businesses, they just wouldn't have a clue. But Elon Musk has so much knowledge of so many different areas. And I think that's why he's just managed to create so many different companies.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of it is bringing in the best people. So, for example, Tesla, they are hiring people from the top people from a lot of other companies to run these companies and to run the divisions of these companies.
The thing is, though, Ben, like, the only way you're going to attract that type of talent if you're worth it, right? Like, is it worth me going to work underneath this guy when I know I'm good? Like, is it worth it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's just pure, strong leadership. It's similar to, I don't know if you follow the NFL, but you hear of players sort of leaving their clubs to go to a club where a new quarterback is in there.
Oh, really?
They understand how special the guy is and how good of a leader he is, and they want that opportunity to win a Super Bowl, you know, win a Super Bowl ring. So Tom Brady, for example, wherever Tom Brady goes, he'll attract the best talent with him, because people know that wherever he goes, they have a chance of winning a Super Bowl. And we're now seeing this with sort of Joe Burrow, who's a new guy, been around for 2 years.
Yeah.
And now just yesterday took his team to the Super Bowl in the second year.
Yeah.
After being injured for the first year, about half of the first year. And people from all around the NFL want to move to his team because they see him as a really special talent. And so I think that's the same in business. You're willing to follow someone if you think that they are going to produce good results and be a part of something great. And I think if you had a chance to be a part of Elon Musk's vision, you would take it rather than someone else, because you know that what he's doing is exciting, what he's doing is interesting.
You think what, like, another one, another big thing about Elon Musk, like working underneath Elon Musk, is that you're actually going for like really, really big goals. So in that process, you can also like capitalize yourself, right? So he's not trying to, you know, build a marketing business or a marketing company, which is fine. You know, like I've tried that in the past. He's going after really big problems that if, you know, and then that's why he attracts this talent, because you, it's kind of like you attract it because you're going after such a big thing that it's just
it's true. Natural. He's not tackling the small issues, exactly. Which is what makes it even more admirable. He's taken some of the world's most complicated problems and he's solved them. I mean, no person has done more for electric vehicles and the improvement of batteries and electric charging and that, all of those kind of things, than Elon Musk has.
Yeah.
He pretty much brought the industry forward 20, 30 years. As soon as he released Tesla, it just made every other car manufacturer think, shit, we need to go and do the same. We need to suddenly start releasing our own electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And then Elon Musk also, because he managed to do that with Tesla, that then pushed governments to say, okay, well, we need to, this is great for the environment, this is good for people, this is good for economies, because buying an electric car, you spend a lot less money on petrol, which is not really a productive spend for consumers.
Yeah.
If you can save several thousand pounds a year on fuel, where's that money going? That money's going back into the actual real economy rather than spending it on petrol and gas, which is not going to actually have a positive impact on the overall economy. So governments are like, that's great, you know, we can see that electric cars can be built quickly and production companies can do this, so let's make everyone else do the same. So he's brought, he's made world governments shift their focus. And
talking about like governments around the world, he's got this point of view, whereas you should let people that have had a good track record and using monetary resources properly to keep them, so they can keep on using them properly in order to bring in more jobs, employment, you know, all the good stuff that comes with producing more work for others, right? So I think he was going to pay the $4 billion in taxes, and he got, I guess, questioned about what do you think about this stuff, this situation, and he was like, well, actually, I don't think it's the most efficient way of running the government, because you're essentially taking the money of someone that has shown you a good, incredible track record in managing it properly, giving jobs, producing stuff for the world to buy and use. Whereas the government, you know, they haven't naturally or over time done a good job in managing the finances, right? So if you were to compare like the US financial track record, it's kind of like in a household, I guess the mum and the dad spending 10 when they only have 5.
they would be bankrupt a long, long time ago. And I think that's true. That's very true. And I personally think, I feel very strongly about that.
Yeah.
In that, what's better, my taxes going towards government spending and me not knowing exactly what the government is spending my money on, but them just getting the free sort of choice to spend my money however they wish? Or is it better that the entrepreneurs keep the money, the taxes are less, and that money goes back into the real economy?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I understand there are some basic levels of tax needed, and I'm not a no tax guy. I'm not an advocate of having no taxes at all. That just is not going to work. I am a free markets guy, so I believe in free private enterprise, very limited government. I think government has one major role or a few major roles, which are protect the country, have laws that facilitate discourse and regular and normal living between participants in that society. But their role is not to create jobs. Their role is not to influence business, their role is simply to
or even
allow the free market to roam and allow people to live amicably with one another. That is the sole, should be the sole purpose of government.
Yeah, so what's happening with the government is they're trying to influence the economy and they're trying to influence like human nature, which is like, exactly, as you said, like the free market, right? So
yeah,
I'll give you like an example. This happening right now. This doesn't have a lot to do with Elon Musk, but at the same time it does, right? So I'm trying to set up business right now over in Spain, and it's actually true. So my dad has got an office, and I need to have like an actual office address in order to set up the company, right? So I try to use his, but what they're obliging me to do is to pay the rent at market value when I could just get it for free. So they're not enabling me as an entity, as a company, to try and trade properly and use the advantages that I may have at my disposal. So it's kind of,
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
They're an enemy. I think governments are the enemy of innovation. Think about what could be done with more, with less taxes. It essentially comes down to who can spend money better.
Yeah.
Do you think a consumer can spend their money better?
Yeah.
Then the government can spend your money. Who do you think is going to care more and be more frugal with their spending decisions than the consumer or the government?
Exactly.
Well, obviously, the person is going to be more frugal with their spending decisions, and they're not going to go wildly and spend money on silly things or have massive public sector organisations that are awfully run, that are so inefficient, and that if they were in private hands, would have gone bankrupt years and years and years ago. And having so many inefficiencies is so bad for business. I don't think there's an economist, I don't think there's a serious economist out there who would say that high taxes are good for an economy. I think the vast majority of economists would say the lower the taxes, generally the better the economy of that country. But the way up and the balance is between having the social good of some people who maybe aren't working and having the rest of the country functioning properly and having it completely run by private enterprise. So I agree that there are some things that are just better in the hands of government. Very few things though, but I would say sort of roads, building roads, that kind of thing should be left to the government. Although there is argument that you could have private people owning these roads and you'd pay a fee to drive on them, a toll to drive on these roads, which happens anyway. But there are things that are just simpler for that I'm happy to pay my taxes towards, you know, roads, the army, these kind of things, protection of the nation. But generally, that's it. I mean, I don't agree. I mean, in the UK, we have public healthcare, which about a third of our taxes go towards, which is insane. You know, I pay a third of my taxes towards the National Health Service here, and yet I can't get an appointment when I want to. It takes me 8 months to get an appointment, I have to go private anyway. So I'm paying for something I don't even use. I go private all the time. I pay any time I need to see a doctor, I will go private. So I mean, I could talk about the issues with big government for a long time, and I don't understand also why people don't see it that way. Why people think that having a big government is a good thing. It's like this protective big brother that they think that they need in their lives. Well, I think it's just much healthier to be freer and make your own decisions rather than letting government make decisions for you.
That's exactly my point. Like, just enable me to make my own decisions as opposed to enforce them on me, right? But I guess, we're not the first people living in this society, so there must have been some aspects that are good, some aspects that are bad, but just that free speech and that free ability, like that ability to make your own decisions, like why not, right? Like, why not give us that?
I mean, we're probably talking our next podcast about what's going on around the world with these COVID measures and vaccinations, and having all these very authoritative governments making decisions for you, and you not having the freedom to make your own choices, which we'll talk about in the next podcast. But coming back to just finishing off with Elon Musk, some people I've heard say, is this guy an alien? Have you heard this? Because he's so sort of different to the normal human.
Yeah.
People think he's not even from this world. It's almost like some aliens have put him here to advance our civilization forward like thousands of years, because what he is essentially doing, if he hadn't come up with the idea of becoming a multiplanetary species, everyone has thought about it, that it's always something that scientists have talked about, but nobody has actually gone close to making it a reality. And now he's got SpaceX, and now he spends every decision he makes is revolved around making human race as multi-planetary species.
He's definitely, I don't have that many idols, to be honest, but he's definitely up there with like people that I would like admire and talk my grandsons and grandchildren about, to be honest.
He's very quirky. He's a very quirky individual. He's not normal. He's definitely got, I think,
a syndrome, I think.
Some kind of autism, something like that. But he is, I would say, the most valuable member of society and of the world that we have at the moment. We need to take care of people like that and take care of other entrepreneurs like that who are changing the world for the better generally, making everyone's lives more efficient. I mean, just go through his businesses. SpaceX. We're going to...
The Boring Company, Neuralink.
Boring Company.
Tesla.
Tesla. Neuralink.
He's got a couple more. He's now sold PayPal, like... X.com.
He's talking about robots now, and Tesla robots, humanoids that take over the mundane everyday tasks that some people do in sort of manufacturing and others.
Yeah.
So he's literally trying to free up so much. People's lives generally get better through the improvement of technology. That's generally how most people's lives improve. And if he was able to bring in robots that would replace some of people's jobs, then that would free up their lives to do more important things for themselves. Maybe start a business, maybe do a different role that they're going to enjoy more, and take away from doing those everyday tasks that aren't.
Solar City. Another one. Neurovigil. So
that's another one.
Then he's probably a shareholder, a big shareholder inside what do you call the cryptocurrency, the Dogecoin.
Dogecoin, yeah. I mean, I think all cryptocurrencies are a bit of a joke, but I think that's just a bit of fun, isn't it? But his fundamental businesses really are changing the way the world is going, and definitely for the better. He said in one video that if he produced 100 gigafactories of these, what was a Solar City
company? Solar City.
Yeah. So each gigafactory produces a certain amount of electricity. If he had 100 of these located across the world, he could create enough renewable energy that we would never need any energy source ever again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. So you could pretty much solve it. And energy is something that you can do anything with. Like, if you have energy, you can take people out of poverty really quickly.
Yeah.
And it would change the world. But we don't ever hear sort of governments coming together and saying, you know what, we're going to go and build. Let's commit to building these 100 gigafactories.
Yeah.
And let's take people in the world out of poverty. They don't really want to do that. They're focused too much on, oh no, we want to keep the status quo. We want to keep these oil companies happy. These basic energy companies happy. Yeah. But that's not. Then the world's going a different way.
Yeah. You do adapt or you die. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're both pretty big fans of Elon Musk, and I'm sure we'll talk about him again.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully we'll get him on the podcast. I'm sure it's not going to be the best allocation of his resource called time, right?
But maybe one day.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got, he does a lot of podcasts, so maybe one day.
Yeah, he does, actually, yeah. Cool.
All right. Yes. All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Remember to follow us, subscribe to our podcast, and hit us up on Instagram, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, see you next time. Thank you. Bye.